Today's Inspiring Growth podcast is brought to you by the number one real estate company in America. Thanks, Keller Williams, and our friend Sheila Tome. Hey, Mark P. Fisher with Amberlee Neese here, and welcome to the Inspiring Growth podcast, where we tell stories of struggle that have led to growth. Thanks for listening. You know, before we jump into the second part of the Archie Williams story, I wanted to mention something to you. Telling stories, your stories, our stories, can be hard. And you know what? Not all stories are linear or made for TV. You know, it's easily packaged in 3 minutes. I feel like we live in a world that tries to button up stories with a decorative bow. I mean, I've done that at times with my own story or other people's stories. But I think one of the important lessons that Archie Williams has taught me about story in our life is that there is a messy middle. You know what I'm saying? The stuff that doesn't get on broadcast news and it's not easy to follow in a linear storytelling fashion. I am so grateful for my co-host, Amberlee Neese, who reminded me of this. So I invite you to put down the desire to script the narrative to fit a short segment and allow Archie to take us on a journey. And for God's sakes, I mean, the man was wrongly accused of rape, convicted, put in prison for 37 years for a crime he didn't commit. You know, our hope is that you get a glimpse through a broken window of a man's life who desperately believed that his story could bring hope to you, to me, and to millions who struggle. So also, I just want to say thank you for listening to the Inspiring Growth podcast. And I want to thank the people who believe in hope and struggle. And thank you for those who come alongside those in need to believe in them. As such, I want to thank two very special people, Brian and Sheila Tome. Thank you for believing in the power of stories like Archie's and a podcast like Inspiring Growth. Thank you, Brian and Sheila, for supporting the storytelling that inspires growth with great leaders like you who are listening right now. May you be inspired to live and tell stories with your life that matters. Maybe you'll be on our podcast someday. And also, I want to thank the skill technicians who take raw interviews and produce them into real professional and enjoyable stories to listen to. So thanks, Dylan and Simon of Studio D Podcast Production. And now, let's jump in together to episode 2 of our 3-part series of the Archie Williams story.
Well, Mark, I feel like at this point, I'm struggling to find the hope in this. I'm struggling to see the sunshine in this.
The story of Joseph, that's the story that really inspired me, because Joseph said something to his brothers. You meant that for evil, but God meant this for good, to preserve life. And that's what I do. I preserve life. People are inspired about me all over this world. That's preserving life.
Man, am I excited to bring you the second part of the Archie Williams story. It is truly the very essence of what Inspiring Growth is all about telling stories of struggle that have led to growth. Personally, just being in the same room with Archie has blown me away because of his resilience and his spirit to like not be pushed down or forgotten. I like this story. I hope you enjoy this story. I hope that it inspires growth in you as an individual as well as your business. But the sad part of all struggles is that it has to start in darkness before you find the light.
So they made the evidence where it could have been mine. Fingerprints, they went under with 9 bloody prints. They will tell 9 prints and a palm print that was never presented in trial of the perpetrator. The bloody print that they put on the stand, they said it wasn't enough to get a positive match because of the blood. And all this was theory. This been revealed. That's why I'm here. Because all that was theory. The print, there was nothing wrong with the print. They matched it to a serial rapist since I've been released. That was the reason for my release. They match the prints now because technology is intelligent, and but they was ordered by the courts. A young black lady ordered that to happen. Mm. That's a story there too. I watched in prison, but she's a commissioner, and she ordered those prints to be tested. The DA was still fighting. And she ordered it. They went and got the prints that they took. They said it was a guy that died in prison. He was a serial rapist.
Imagine that injustice. And for so long, how did he resist becoming eaten up by bitterness?
Right. That's where Archie's story becomes even more like the ancient story of Joseph. When you went into prison, how old were you? 21?
Yeah, about 21.
So you got into prison. There were two people that your mom knew, and they guided you?
They saved me. You know, people respect them in prison. People respect. And, you know, when I went there, they, you know, he gave me something to, if somebody messed with me. That's how you have to live in Angola. You had to live in Angola with knives, and they would make their own knives. You had to go to sleep with it. Hmm. They knew me because when I, at 12 years old, I started boxing. I didn't fear nobody. I started boxing at the age of 12. And I was almost becoming pro, going to the Olympics and stuff. That was my desire. But I ended up going there. And that's what happened. I had many struggles in Angola. Many fights. The day I went to court, the day before I went to court with an eye because I fight
a black
somebody.
Eye.
Somebody that I taught how to box, me and him. But yeah, you in Angola, when I first went there, like I said, you had to have knives. Mm-hmm. You know, and because somebody's gonna try you. Mm-hmm. And when that happened in Angola, let me tell you how that go.
Yeah.
If I kill you, the security gonna say that you was in the wrong.
Okay.
Because if they didn't, that'll be a silver suit of millions of dollars because they were supposed to protect you.
Ah.
So that's why all the killings went on. Right. That's why Elaine Hunt was the first one that built a prison for guys that have lesser time. Because if you got life, they feel like, well, I got life. This is my life now. I'm going to die here. Mm. So I'm going to make it, you know. And it was really crazy. You know, you see guys getting turned out, watching all of that. You just have to turn your head and don't bother it.
Mm. Did you box in prison?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got pictures, I got titles and everything. And then I ended up being a boxing trainer in Angola. And I did something that was never done. See, all the institutions in Angola, all the institutions in Louisiana, we would gather together. They do it right now, every month. And we would fight for titles.
Ah.
Okay. And my team, before I walked away from the boxing team because of the warden that come there, he had that slave mentality. So I walked away. But when I walked away with all 9 titles and 4 number one contender spots. It's on Facebook. It's on Facebook and Instagram. I walked away with every title and 4 number one contender spots. Mm. I'm trying to get back right now to where I can start back.
You know, in the midst of the story, I think it's easy to see Archie as some sort of extreme outlier. Like, yeah, he did it, but I could never do that. But while we were talking to his family member, Cassandra, she told me about another wrongly convicted man with an eerily similar story of injustice and the same kind of inspirational resilience.
His name is Isaac Knapp.
he's also an exoneree. He didn't commit the murder. He was wrongfully convicted and then exonerated at like Archie. And then the daughter, when she found out that he had been wrongfully convicted, connected with him and they became friends and decided to tell the story from both perspectives. Her having being told that her this was her father's killer and the system kind of failing her family for real justice and then failing him by wrongfully convicting him.
When he was 13, he went to the Olympics. He became pro. He went to the Olympics and everything. And they picked him up when he was 16, he said.
Okay.
They sent him to Angola for murder of a white man. And when he got out, he went pro and he won titles. The name of the book is Fighting Time.
So Archie and Isaac Knapp were both physically resilient. Archie had friends who kept him alive in Angola physically, but what about his spirit? How did he preserve his optimism and sanity?
You know, I asked him that, and he told me about a mentor of sorts.
My pastor, he lives right around the corner from here now, and he did 20 years. He wasn't innocent. He had, you know, he was in the car while guys that did a robbery, and they, you know, they caught him. They was all together. He went to prison.
Okay.
And he did 20 years and got pardoned. But this guy is who we, you're talking about spiritual. That's all he did. And that's all he do now. Just like he was in there, you go to his house, he got five Bibles open, studies these strong, they call the strong and the young.
Yeah.
And this is what he do every day.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on Zoom every Wednesday, I think he said. He Zoom every Wednesday with people.
Mm.
But he took me under his wings. He about 7 feet tall, big old guy. And he took me under his wings and he took me to church every day.
In prison.
He took me to church, Bible study. He did not let me go. And I get mad sometimes. Didn't want to go. Sometimes I say I'm sick or I make an excuse. But he kept me under his wings. And right now today, I goes and see him all the time.
Oh, that's something.
And I bless him for you know, I bless him for taking care of me like that.
Today's Inspiring Growth podcast is brought to you by the number one real estate company in America. Thanks, Keller Williams, and our friend Sheila Tome. I got a question for you. If you're thinking of buying or selling a home, why would you want to hire Sheila Tome of Keller Williams? Well, from my experience, she'll be both your cheerleader and your guide. But don't take my word for it. Recently, I talked with Ryan and Jessica Worley, first-time home buyers, about their experience with Sheila Tome.
Recently, we were told that our landlord was going to be selling the house to one of his kids. And so we were a little fast-tracked.
I felt like it kind of lit a fire under us. I just felt really comfortable with Sheila, not really like a salesman, just more like a family friend.
And also knew that we were going to be able to trust her, which when you're making the biggest purchase of your life is kind of important. The climate right now, it's crazy. Houses are going up and selling the next day or even that same day they're going up. They're not accepting offers anymore. And so the phrase she kept saying is, you're going to know.
She just always reminded us when we would go look at houses that the right one would come along. We're very happy with where we ended up. We told her on the day we closed that we would miss her. So,
yeah, everyone that we're talking to that's going through this, they're not having good home buying experiences. And when we got through this, we just could not believe how easy she made it. We felt like we had an outlier experience.
You know what you're getting with Sheila, and you know she's going to take care of you.
So if you're thinking of buying or selling anywhere in the universe, start by chatting with Sheila Tome. Her number is 443-907-2185 or her website at sheilatome.kw.com. That's sheilatome.kw.com. This is where talking to Archie really started to just blow me away. It's one thing to walk out of 37 years of unjust imprisonment with an unbroken spirit. But to feel for and to see the plight of others with such emotional vulnerability. Oh, come on, guys. This is absolutely incredible.
I'm Hilma, just like you.
Yeah.
I went through the same thing you did. Those spirits came my way.
Mm.
The same ones that made you angry.
Mm-hmm.
But I never let them enter into my mind. Mm. They would speak to me about being depressed. You shouldn't be here. I listened at all of that. But I never let it enter into my heart.
Mm.
Because I knew that he had a reason. So I looked to him for everything. Just like I do now. Mm. I'm in more prison now than I was in Angola.
Mm.
Because looking at what has transpired with my people as a nation, everything has been taken from us.
Mm.
And that's what really puts me in prison, because I have to think about that and think about some kind of way to reach my people and let them know that it's hope. Because the spirit of unity has been taken out of our race.
Mm.
So I'm in more prison now than I was then.
Mm.
Well, in prison, I put people before me that was in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
That's innocent. They didn't take it like me. Don't talk to me about no God.
Mm-hmm.
They was in prison here. But I promise God, I would never let those this situation get me there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Archie, part of the healing journey I'm hearing from you is found in planting in others seeds of hope from our story, from your story.
Exactly.
So keep planting, Archie.
I will.
Keep planting.
As long as I'm here.
Oh,
as long as I'm here.
So good. Thank you. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your journey to perform on America's Got Talent. Tell us about that story.
I would watch it all the time. America Got Talent, Steve Harvey, these are the things I would do on my spare time.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch that show and I would say, boy, I sure hope I could be there one day.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope to be there. And when I first got out of prison, I ended up on Apollo first because I wanted to be there too. And sure enough, he opened the door. Somebody contacted Cassandra and told her, we want Archie.
Mm.
And that's how I ended up on that show.
Well,
but I always desired to be there. I got a nephew that was on American Idol.
Okay.
He was in the finals with the little girl they called Fantasias. And, you know, it's just in my family. That runs in my family.
Mm. Simon Cowell said after you performed, this is an audition I will never forget for the whole of my life. When you heard that, you're on the stage, people are cheering. How did that affect you?
Man, it really touched me. Because Simon Cowell right now is the ambassador of the people that got my release.
Mm.
He's the ambassador of the Innocent Project. And now he's fighting for innocent people.
Because you planted the seed in him.
Because I planted the seed. Simon, that's what I'm telling you.
Mm.
It was all meant to happen.
Mm.
You know, for people, not just me.
Mm.
It was all meant to happen. Because when I walked out of Angola, that was my first thing. You know how many people that's in there that's innocent? What I want to do is get an organization together where I can, you know, fight for their freedom.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for joining us for the second part of a three-part interview with Archie Williams and the Archie Williams story. I think you're going to be inspired and encouraged by the last segment, where we get to hear about Archie's story from America's Got Talent to his efforts in standing up and bringing freedom to the all too many people experiencing unjust incarceration.
This is already such a better spot to stop in than part one.
Wait for the finale. Is this your letter right here?
That's my letter.
Hey, Archie, would you read that for us?